Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night. And a two-run homer for Baez.
We're getting a 13-yard gain here on fourth down. And right now, not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down.
So Jake Bentley chased and dropped at the 15-yard line. Roquan, the chef,
Smith. Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
Hit the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaren hits by Kane. One, two. He did it. He did it. Steamboat's got him up. McClaren has done it. McClaren has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Got baseball at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget to download the Under the Hood show podcast, hashtag UTHpod. Don't forget to download that podcast. And again, wherever you get your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. We're glad to provide you with a lot of different content, especially every hour of this show that we do weeknights at 7, as well as a bonus audio that you may not hear on ESPN 1000, but you will hear on that podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, whether it's SoundCloud, whether it is Apple Music, whether it is Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. This, we mentioned this earlier because we were on earlier at, in the 6 o'clock hour about Jimmy Butler. And I see this from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. Jimmy Butler seeking trade to Nets, Clippers, or Knicks. So the Timberwolves guard Jimmy Butler is requesting a trade, and his three preferred destinations is the Nets, the Clippers, and the Knicks. Butler wants a trade to a team that plans to sign him to a five-year max contract, $190 million in the summer, and his list could expand based on the Timberwolves and the rival team willingness to negotiate a trade for him. Tom Thibodeau, who is the president and coach of the Timberwolves, says he has no interest in trading Butler and wants to try and return to the playoffs with him in the lineup. It's just a mess. I mean, you know the season's right around the corner. And it was reported on Monday that Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau were going to have a conversation. Thibodeau flew to Los Angeles to talk to Jimmy Butler, and now Jimmy's put it out there he wants to trade. And Tom's like, no, I'm not going to trade you. It is just amazing on two fronts. One is that Jimmy Butler wants out and can't lead that team with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins to be a leader for that team. Is there a ceiling on success in Minnesota? Yes. There's a bigger ceiling on success with the Nets and the Knicks and the Clippers, by the way. But he just wants to get out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And, it wasn't like he wanted to get traded to Minneapolis. It's not like he wanted to be able to be coached once again by Tom Thibodeau. But he doesn't want to be part of any of that organization whatsoever. He couldn't stay around just to lead that team. He couldn't wait. He wants to get paid. He wants to go to a different team. I knew this was going to happen. I just didn't know when. But it's funny how, as I see this report, Butler's trying to do anything he can to get out of Minnesota. So we'll see how this story goes. But it's just typical Jimmy. Jimmy, Hollywood as hell, ready to go someplace else. I don't even know if it's about a championship as much as it is just trying to get out of Minnesota. Because look at the choices. The Knicks, the Nets, the Clippers. Okay, Jimmy, whatever you say. As you listen to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Jonathan Hood with you, we turn to one of the mentors that I've had in this business. I've been doing this for over 25 years, and one of my mentors is Bob Kemp, and Bob Kemp now works in Phoenix, NBC Sports Radio in Phoenix. We want to talk to him about the Cubs and Diamondbacks, talk about Herm Edwards being out there at Arizona State, and also, of course, the Bears taking on the Arizona Cardinals. That game's going to take place on Sunday. And Bob Kemp joins us here, a talk show host from NBC Sports Phoenix, right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Bob, Jonathan Hood, as always, I appreciate your time.
My pleasure, as always.
Bob, can you identify the steady decline of the Arizona Cardinals? Can you define exactly when it started, when you thought, well, maybe this is not going in the right direction?
Well, I think it actually started in the conference championship game 3 seasons ago when they went to Carolina and got slaughtered that particular game by the Panthers. And, yeah, I kind of thought that was their window of opportunity. And that was met with much resistance around here because everybody thought they were still going to be good. Then I got kind of sucked in and thought, okay, you know, they got one more chance here. And things went miserably that year. Palmer went down and, you know, the Arians, I think the, you know, his effectiveness as a head coach declined. And then last year was just, they actually won 8 games last year. It was kind of a miracle that they did that. It was part schedule and luck factors, but they did. But, yeah, I think that certainly Arians understood the writing on the wall and Palmer retired. And, yeah, they actually had no quarterbacks at one point at the start of the off season last year. And they signed Bradford, who they thought was going to be their starter, for $20 million. And then they got Glennon to be the backup. And the draft circumstances worked out. It was amazing that they were able to trade up and get Rosen. So they had 3 quarterbacks. But during all that time, they've not drafted well. They have really made some poor decisions draft-wise, specifically on the offensive line. They've drafted guys who have been cut in the last couple of years, in fact, in that area. And they tried to patch things up, and they brought in Andre Smith, who hasn't been good at all, and now he's hurt anyway. So it's been a mess. And you know, I didn't think it was going to be this bad, but their receiving crew is about as bad as it gets, even though I understand that there are people in Buffalo and Dallas who probably dispute that. But if you take out Larry Fitzgerald, you know, this is they don't really have anybody to go to. I don't think it really matters who the quarterback is, but it has been it's basically a lack of offensive talent. I actually think the defense could be okay, but they're on the field for 35 minutes a game. That's not going to help no matter who it is out there.
Bob, the cameras caught Josh Rosen yawning on the sidelines because clearly here's a guy here with a chip on his shoulder and believes that he was done wrong in the draft. He believes he should be out there. He's not cocky. He's convinced that he should be the starting quarterback for the Cardinals. What's the likelihood they will see him on the field in the foreseeable future?
That's a really good question. It's obviously something that we've been kicking around here. Yeah, after watching him in training camp, and I was an advocate of his during his college years, thinking there's no chance he would ever be here. And I was thrilled that they got him. But training camp, he wasn't accurate. He even admitted that things were awfully fast for him at that time and in the preseason. And he got the most reps of anybody because they limited the reps of Bradford and so forth. So I don't think he's nearly as far along as a lot of people seem to think, especially for the national media. So that's one issue. Do you put him out there with this shaky offensive line and a bunch of receivers who can't get open, or you just kind of let Bradford do his thing until whenever? So I'm sure at some point, because this isn't going to get any better one loss wise anyway, I thought they were going to win 6 games max before the season started. I'm sure he's going to get an opportunity. I don't think it's in his best interest this week, and because the Bears, obviously, their front seven is, you know, as you guys know, is really good, and I would expect a kind of they have like a raffle to see who gets the quarterback first. So yeah, they'd rather, I think, that be Bradford than Rosen at this point. Next week they play Seattle, and this is the first time I think I've ever said this. As long as Seattle's linebackers are hurt, their front seven is not very good. So if it doesn't go well for the Cardinals this week, it might be the best place for Rosen to get his first start against Seattle, which is crazy, but you just saw Seattle too.
Bob Kemp from NBC Sports Radio in Phoenix with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. You can go to Bob's blog, NBCSports1060.com/bottomline, to read some of the goings on in Arizona. Switching to the Cubs and Diamondbacks, because that's the series that's taking place right now as the Cubs are on the road. Bob, did I see the Diamondbacks kind of I don't know, mail it in last night. Goldschmidt has the error, and then all of a sudden we see some bad baseball. I think that's – is that uncharacteristic of the Diamondbacks? That's three errors. That was a sloppy game by Arizona yesterday.
Yeah, it is. Yesterday was we talked today on the show, in fact, about how I thought this was the all-time mail-it-in performance in the 2 years of the Torre Lovello era. They usually play the right way. They were just non-competitive last night. I understand when Matt Andrees is your starting pitcher, that probably has got a big boost in your confidence. And the night after your smartest and best player makes the dumbest move of his career to end the game, getting thrown out at second base. And they really haven't played well since the All-Star break. And I think two things. One, they probably weren't that good to begin with, and they just kind of maxed out. This organization has no depth whatsoever in the minor league system to bail them out. Andrees last night was the 11th different starting pitcher they've had, which is the second most in franchise history, albeit a brief franchise history. But they're just, I think, running out of gas. What is disappointing is that they're now playing bad baseball. And their defense, which was either, whether you go metrics or eye test, really good, amongst the best in baseball for really a year and a half. Since the All-Star break, they've just made, you know, mental gaffes, errors that aren't charged as errors officially. And, yeah, there's no, they don't have any margin for error, this team. And when they were playing their best, they made defensive plays, and you know, they got ground ball pitchers, so they need double plays. And so it's just kind of turned into, I guess we go back to the Chicago theme here, they be who they thought they were, right? Using the old Denny Green quote from a few years ago, which we've already played once this week here, and we will play it again on Friday. But I think this is kind of the level that they actually are. And unfortunately for the Diamondbacks, Patrick Corbin is, he was going to be gone after this year anyway, free agency. He's way out of the price range of the Diamondbacks now because he's had a great year. And A.J. Pollock, who's kind of up and down, we doubt if he'll be back. And the big decision I think Diamondbacks are going to have to make this winter is Paul Goldschmidt's a free agent after next year, and it seems highly unlikely that he's going to be back. If he was going to be back, I would assume they would have already taken care of that. So do the Diamondbacks, do they trade Goldschmidt this winter in anticipation of him just walking after next year is going to be a hot topic here.
One of the talking points, Bob, regarding the Cubs this season, and there's a sense of entitlement in the city because the Cubs won the World Series, so there's some kind of grace period, I think, among some of the fans. However, you know, in this National League, or as I consider it, the NBA East, in this National League.
That's what I call it, too. Very smart. Yeah, very good.
How about that, right? So,
yeah, how about that?
In this NBA East, I consider it, the Cubs have not had the sustained success for me to believe that they can win the World Series. Maybe be part of it. I don't know. Maybe in it. But what are your thoughts on the Cubs as a team? Do you think that they have enough among some of the other also-rans in the National League to get there?
Yeah, I think they could, just because of what you say about the National League. I had Bob Nightingale on last week. He called it the NCAA tournament and the NIT, the American League and the National League. Yeah. So I wish I would have stolen. I mean, I just stole it from him. I wish I would have thought of it, actually. But I think they can, and it's weird because there are a number of teams that are going to be in the playoffs, really in both leagues, whose bullpens are just kind of in flux right now, and it may come down to just who figures out their bullpen. Yeah, the Astros last year, of course, ended up putting starters to close games. I think they're going to have to do it again. I don't know if the Cubs have enough starters to do that. They have confidence in, but it's a and of course the Dodgers with the Jansen situation, and getting to Jansen, I think, is kind of lost in the shuffle with the Dodgers issue. So there's just some examples right there of teams that are going to have to figure it out, and whoever actually does figure it out, the Red Sox too, for that matter, before you get to Kimbrel. They don't know what they're doing from game to game. Mm-hmm. So the odd thing is the Yankees, who I don't trust in almost any other area, if they have a lead after six innings, they're probably going to win. So strange, but that goes back to the Cubs question you asked. Is I think that they certainly have an opportunity. I think there's five teams in the American League that I would favor over anybody from the National League if they met in the World Series, however.
Bob, I have seen all three of the Arizona State games because I'm intrigued by what Herm Edwards can be. I know that there's a lot of naysayers or believing that he can't get this done. I don't worry about Herm Edwards when it comes to the football side of things or the recruiting side of things, because I mean, he's pretty much a preacher up there. I mean, when you hear him speak, you know, he has a lot of things to say. I don't worry about that. I'm concerned about the administrative side, whether or not he has that covered. How well do you think he will do in that spot as a head coach? And also the second question to that is, you know, what has stood out in the past three games here in the Edwards administration?
This would have been a much different answer last week after the San Diego, before the San Diego State game. First up, as far as I think he can handle the administrative part, and actually he's done a lot more coaching than I think a lot of people anticipated. Mainly one-on-one stuff with the secondary, which needed the most help of anybody on this. From about the last 3 or 4 years, it was awful for the most part. So they. And it's hard to tell how much they've improved in that area, because that's the area that they've had the most injuries. They've had cluster injuries at safety. There are two corners, which are pretty good. They've been able to keep them healthy. So he's done more coaching on the field, practice-wise, than I think anybody anticipated. Maybe we were just kind of wrong because we really didn't know. As far as last week was just completely dominated at the line of scrimmage. There was going to be certainly a letdown after the Michigan State win, but after I think that I would have actually picked San Diego State to win that game had San Diego State's quarterback not been injured the week before, but that didn't matter. They just kind of reduced the playbook, and they ran for 250 yards really in the last 20 minutes of the game if you take it into the first half. So as far as on the field, I'm not sure. And they play Washington this week, and Washington lost here last year. And that was a horrendous performance by Washington, the one dominant performance that ASU had. And I'm sure that that pretty much knocked Washington out of the playoff situation a year ago. So that's going to be an inspired opponent that they're going to face, and it's going to be interesting. And whether it's Herm or Todd Graham or Dennis Erickson or whomever, since they entered the Pac-12 in the late 70s, or Pac-10 then, since then the Pac-12, I just don't think, no matter who runs this, what kind of model they're using, whoever the coach is, it's going to be almost impossible for this program to be consistent year after year in the conference, even though the conference is down. Like the Pac-12, and there's just while Arizona high school football has improved, it's still not to the level where you just get. They can't keep the best guys in Arizona even here. But if they could, and they added California kids, maybe they'd have a chance for some consistent success. But they really never had that. They have a year here and there where everything falls together. But that's just something I've kind of thought of that. U of A and ASU over the years, I think consistency in football is never going to be something they accomplish.
Bob, last thing I have for you, I appreciate your time. I want to get your thoughts about point spreads and gambling. When we worked together in the 90s, you were one of the few that would be able to run down the information that you were able to attain from Las Vegas and other sources to let people know here are the games, but also here are the point spreads if you need them. And so now here we are, fast forward to 2018. It's almost every other show is involving gambling. I mean, VSiN is opening up in Vegas, and Brent Musburger's network is starting to thrive here slowly. I want to know what your thoughts are on the advent of gambling and point spreads on sports radio conversation, because we're hearing it more and more now than ever before.
Yeah, it's wonderful country, finally, as far as that goes. It's been wonderful country in other areas for a long time. I don't want to get political here, but obviously, I actually came from Vegas before we worked together in Chicago, and was in the handicapping and gambling and gaming business back in those days. So I've been paying attention for a while, in other words. And now I live in a state where it might be like the last state that passes such a thing, unfortunately. But The proliferation of this is just going to get bigger, because I think that certainly there's been plenty of bookies and illegal gambling offshore, et cetera, for many years, forever in some of these cases. But the fact that now, in some places, at least now, and hopefully everywhere very soon. People can legally wager on sporting events. It's just another thing that's a big point of interest, and obviously it's football season. The most interesting thing to me is whether it actually gains some traction once we get to basketball. Certainly the NCAA tournament it does, but you don't hear much about point spreads in NBA playoff games or series prices or things like that. And baseball has kind of been foreign in a lot of ways with the gambling situation or the gambling, just gambling itself, because people get confused about the plus and minus prices. And so if there's some kind of educational process there, that'll probably be last of the party. But you know, football is obviously that's a big deal, and you know, even with fantasy football and so forth. But I'm more interested because that'll be fine. And people love that, and people thrive on that. And I'm curious, and I don't even know if I'll be breathing at this point, but where we are a few years from now as far as you know, where it stands in other sports.
Well, Bob, as always, I appreciate your time being one of my biggest influences in the business. And if you have an issue, make sure fans to reach out to Bob Kemp. It's his fault. If you have an issue with my show, make sure you reach out again. NBCSports1060.com. Look for the bottom line blog, and you can blame him for my success. As always, I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for coming on the show.
I've never been blamed for anything before. This is something new for me. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I've done things properly over the years. No, seriously, as I mentioned before we chatted, I'm very proud of you, not surprised, and best always.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Bob. As always, we appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on the show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All right. I got one more. Let's see. I had three pair of tickets, right? So I got to give away one more pair of tickets. Okay. I want to give away more, but I want to give away more tickets, but I feel like, I guess we gave away our other pair. Sorry. I want to give away another pair of tickets for, Craig Ferguson. I guess we're good. All right. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to Howard Griffith, to Jesse Rogers, to Bob Kemp for being with us as well. The show produced by Felix Reyes on the other side of the glass. Rockies and Dodgers are coming up next. Stay close to me on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, on the Facebook wall, facebook.com, as well as on Instagram, IGJHood. All right. So for Felix, I'm Jonathan. Thanks for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted, I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.